Well, good morning and welcome to the front of church. Glad that you're here for the children's message. Oh, and I get a smile too. How awesome. Well, today in my sermon, I'm going to be talking about how Jesus did a miracle. You know what a miracle is, right? That Jesus could do something that you can't do, I can't do, nobody can do, because he's the Son of God. Well, what Jesus did is he healed 10 guys that were really sick with leprosy. And you know how many of them came back to say thank you to Jesus? Just one. Did you ever forget to say those magic words when grandma or grandpa or mom and dad give you a gift? Did you ever forget to say thank you? Yeah, me too. And sometimes we need mom or dad or grandma and grandpa to say thank you. But hey, as we grow up and get older, we show that we show our thanks because we really appreciate what someone else does for us. Well, today, I wanted to show you a gift. Have you ever received a gift like this? Maybe for your birthday or for Christmas? Maybe it was wrapped in a big bow on it? Would you like to see what's inside? Oh yeah, definitely. It's always a good thing. Okay, so let's see here. Let's say that we got this as a gift, and let's see, what did we get? Oh, maybe as a gift, you know, something you didn't earn and you didn't deserve, but you still got it anyway. You got one of these. Wouldn't that be really cool to get a truck? Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. You're thinking, maybe not, maybe, okay. Anyway, okay, let's see what else we have here. Oh, we have one of these. You know what this is? Is that a Pokemon? Oh, it's a Pokemon. Does anybody know what kind it is? I don't know what kind it is, but it would be really cool to get a Pokemon like this, right? And it's important that when you get a gift, it's important to say thank you, right? Because you're very grateful for what you've been given, right? And you know what? I'll be honest. It's easier to be thankful for what we'd like, right? Instead of what we don't like, right? Can we ever be thankful for this? You know what this is? A Band-Aid, right? Why do you need a Band-Aid? Did you ever need a Band-Aid? Oh yeah, maybe when you got an owie, right? And maybe you fell down and skinned your knee. And how can you be thankful for this when it's something hard in your life? Well, you can thank God that you will, number one, you have a bandage, but that God makes your body be able to heal. And maybe God allows those owies into our lives to help us slow down just a little bit and be a little bit more careful. I got to remember that too. Or if you've ever had one of these, right? Have you ever seen this? This isn't a gun. This is a thermometer. And maybe mom or dad used this for you if you got an earache. Right? And mom and dad took the temperature to see how you feel, because maybe you didn't feel so good. And you know what? I bet it's hard to thank God when you're sick, isn't it? Yeah, those lepers had the same issue. They it was hard for them to thank God, even though they were sick. But we can thank God, even for the good things and for the hard things. And thank God we can find things to be thankful for, like that maybe God's given us like medical technology to help us, or maybe doctors or nurses or medicine. But most of all, we want to thank God for Jesus, right? His cross. Because on that cross, Jesus died on that cross and rose again to assure us that whenever we have owies or whenever we get sick, God says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And maybe that means he heals us here, or maybe it means he takes us home to heaven. But the point, thank God for all the things in your life. Let's ask God to help us do that. Dear God, thank you for giving us every good thing, and thank you, Lord, for the hard things in our lives. Forgive us for those times we haven't been more grateful. Like those lepers, sometimes we forget. But Heavenly Father, change us to be more grateful and to live grateful lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand if you're able. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are yours, because Jesus really did die for you and he really did rise. Amen. God's word for our sermon appointed for this 18th Sunday of Pentecost is recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, reading from chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. We're going to hear a miracle. Jesus did something no one else could do. He healed 10 lepers. But Jesus does even a bigger miracle with you and me. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. We pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. Dear believers in Christ Jesus, 2 little words, 1 big, meaningful phrase. We teach it to our children so desperately, wanting them to be polite and proper, and we ourselves often forget to say it. What phrase am I talking about? You know it. Simply this: thank you. Yes, thank you. And it's not so much about saying the right words, even at the right times, but it's also more important to have the gratitude that lies behind it. We say thank you, right? Almost without thinking, to that waitress who brings us our coffee. We say thank you, without even concentrating very much, to that man who holds the door, that stranger at Quick Trip, and we walk inside, we mumble those words. We know what to say. We can be on automatic pilot. But do we really even think about what we mean? We even say thank you when we come to church. You did that already this morning. And sometimes we remember to even mean it. Each week we do well to take inventory of every blessing our good and gracious God has given us. Blessings like health and home, family and friends, especially all of the blessings of salvation that Jesus Christ so selflessly earned for us. It is good for us as God's people to gather to give God the praise that he's done for us. But what if we also thank God for what we don't have? My, wouldn't that be different? I mean, I'm not just talking about being thankful that we don't have a raging war here on the streets of New Ulm, or disease and terminal disease in our house. But what if we thank God that maybe that night's sleep we didn't get, but we're still grateful for it, for the little we get. Or being thankful that maybe not every day we get to live pain-free lives. But that's not the way most people think. Most people tend to look at life this way: I know that I've got problems, but, well, other people have it worse, so thank God I'm not them. No, that's not really what I'm getting at either. Instead, I pray that the account of Jesus healing the 10 lepers helps us to see that God uses both the good and the hard things in our lives for a reason. Because God uses both to bless us in ways that we can see, and most of the time in ways that we can't. I pray that God fills you with more faith as you realize that we can thank God for what we don't have. First of all, as we take a closer look at Luke chapter 17, we're going to thank God for what we don't have, because only then we can see what we really need. And only then we can have peace with our God. In chapter 17 of Luke's gospel, we learn what those lepers didn't have, and I think it's obvious. They didn't have their health. Back in Bible days, either you were sick or you weren't. And quite honestly, if that poor man or woman that contracted leprosy, there really wasn't much that medical science could do. Maybe you remember that even though today leprosy isn't a deal, you know why? Because leprosy can be cured with just simple medicine over the counter today, but that's not what they had back in Bible days. Leprosy was a very painful, terminal skin disease that was even more contagious than COVID. It was so terrible that God told his people in the Old Testament that if they noticed anyone contracting it, the way they would see it would be white on the skin. They would notice that something was wrong. At first, fingernails would fall off, then fingertips would fall off, and then finally whole organs would shut down. And it didn't take long. When anyone contracted leprosy, they were removed from the community immediately, and in almost every case, permanently. Imagine if you were diagnosed with leprosy today. Would that get your attention? Oh, I think so. In chapter 17, we also learn that lepers lost their homes. The Bible tells us that they lived on the outskirts of town in God knows what kind of housing. These lepers lost their families. Mothers lost their daughters. Sons lost their fathers. They didn't have any government hospitals or social programs to care about them, and it makes us wonder, how did any of them live very long? Truth is, they didn't. How did they even eat from day to day? Maybe it was some kind-hearted person threw them a few scraps, or maybe they had to resort to stealing from healthy folks. But lepers had no place in Jewish society. Why, they were required by law to not only live apart from everyone else in what was known as leper colonies, where they'd all die together, but they were required to cry out unclean within 100 feet of anybody who would pass by. Our reading tells us in Luke chapter 17, these lepers kept their distance from Jesus when they saw him. They yelled unclean, but they weren't so far away that they couldn't communicate with Jesus. Scripture gives us the details. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now don't you ask yourself, how did they know who Jesus was? Well, the answer is simple. Word about Jesus had spread like wildfire. I mean, everybody in that village knew that there was a miracle worker who had come to town, and his reputation had preceded him. Even though they didn't have social media, even though they didn't have streaming news services, they had heard that Jesus had done what no one else could do. He could do miracles. He had already healed a man who was born blind, lame, even raised the dead. Pretty impressive list. And to these lepers, certainly it was worth a shot to ask Jesus to help them when no one else could. But isn't that the reason that God allowed these men to get leprosy in the first place? Now go with me on this. What if on the day that Jesus walked into that village, these 10 lepers didn't have lepers, they were fine. Maybe they were at work. Maybe they were playing with their kids. Maybe they're watching the Packer game. No, I don't think they were doing that. Imagine if they were just doing what everybody else does. Do you really think they would have called out to Jesus for help? Would they really have said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us"? I don't think so either. But if they wouldn't have called out to Jesus in desperation, would any of them have been saved? And how did Jesus respond? Listen to the love in these words. When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, what was that all about? Well, back in Bible days, priests not only functioned as the church, but they also functioned as the health department. In other words, if anyone had leprosy, they would go to the priest to make sure that everything was fine. Like that ever happened? Like never? Imagine the disappointment of a leper who really thought that he was going to be safe. And then he'd go to the priest, and he was severely disappointed. But that also leads us to ask, what if these lepers had been so fixated on their terminal condition that they would have just given up? What would have happened if they were only saw their earthly problems, but they never even saw Jesus, their heavenly solution? Not these guys. They trusted that Jesus would not let them down, and they weren't disappointed. The Bible says this, and as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine their joy? Can you imagine wives being able to hug their husbands again? Children being able to hold on to their daddies? Oh, can you imagine the tearful reunions? Now, you've seen those videos on YouTube, right, of those servicemen and women who are gone from their families, and then they surprise their loved ones and just see the tears of how so happy to have them back safe and sound. Well, that just gives you an idea of how they felt. All because God allowed them to get leprosy in the first place? I don't imagine that these lepers took much for granted again. I mean, God did for them what no one else could do. He saved them. But how about us? Do we ever take things for granted? Yes, we take a lot for granted. And let me get more specific. I take a lot for granted. But that doesn't make it right. Oh, sure, we might, I say might, take one day a year, Turkey Day, to give thanks to God. Maybe mumble some thanks and go on with football and food. But what about the rest of the 364 days? Do we really live remembering what God has done for you and me in the past? What he's doing for us right now? Too much complaining. Too busy. Not enough time. Not enough money. Don't like my lot in life. Wish I was better looking. Wish that I got better grades. Oh, my friends, there's not one of us that hasn't thought that or even said it out loud. Did it ever occur to you, though, that sometimes God takes away his blessings in our lives to help us see what we really need? Let that last sentence sink in. What if God sometimes takes away some of our blessings to show us what we really need? Because what we really need is a right relationship with God. We need Jesus. And because God has given us Jesus on the cross, an empty tomb, we have what we need. And that's why we can be thankful for what we don't have. Do you remember the song, "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other One"? Which is it? Do you know? Well, one of these lepers was different than the others. The Bible says one of them was a Samaritan. Now, under normal circumstances, this would be shocking to anybody who heard about this. I mean, Jews and Samaritans, even though the Bible says they lived right next to each other, they sure didn't associate with each other. The Jews looked at the Samaritans as half-breeds. In other words, remember how God had told the people to live apart? Well, some decided not to do that, and, well, the rest is history. The problem with that is that some of those Jews that had become now Samaritans, they left God behind. They also had a half-Jewish, half-pagan religion. Yes, they didn't really look at them as being important at all. In fact, they shunned them. They got away from them. They wouldn't even look their way. And truth be told, Samaritans didn't have much time for Jews either. Ever have to deal with that kind of rejection? Think about what life was like for that one Samaritan leper. Not only are you terminal with a medical disease, now you have to live in this camp with all of these Jews. I wonder how they reminded him of that fact every single day. But truly, all of them were outside of God's kingdom. They were lepers. None of them could have rejoined society until they were healed. Oh, but that one Samaritan, he was different than all the others. Sure, well, he was the outsider, but think about this. He was the only one who came back to give Jesus the thanks he deserved for healing him. But he also came back for another reason. I mean, if what those other Jewish lepers said were true, if he was truly outside of the kingdom of God, he never would have been healed in the first place. Think about those other lepers. Maybe they thought, hey, I'm fine. I'm a Jew. I'm a member of the family. I'm safe. Forgetting that it's not being of the right bloodline that saves you. It's only that God saves you. And if leper number 10 was a Jew, he probably would have taken for granted his place in the world. But because he was different, he looked at Jesus different. Because he had nothing else to hold on to, he held on to Christ alone and his work to save him, and led him to praise God, because in the end, he had peace with God. Dear friends, all of us have a condition that's much worse than leprosy. All of us here have sin that separates us from God forever. But Jesus has done a miracle for each one of us. In baptism, he has called us to believe in Jesus. He's forgiven us all of our sins. Thank God for what you don't have. We don't have our sins anymore. The guilt, it doesn't touch us by faith in Christ, because we know he's died for us and we know he lives for us. We don't have to fear death. And some of you do have to face death in your family, and it's very close. But you and I know what happens. We know that when death comes knocking, we know that we get to go to heaven guaranteed because of what Christ has done. And now sin doesn't control us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the one who controls us, all because Jesus loves us. My point, we have peace with God right now. And we're going to have an eternity in heaven to thank God for all this. But why not start now and thank God for not only what we have, but what we don't have? Maybe you have a spouse who has a temper. Maybe you have kids or grandkids that don't show you the respect that you'd like. You and I can thank God for them, and because we have the opportunity today to show Christian love and patience to others. Maybe you have friends or family who don't believe in Christ. Thank God for that, for what you don't have, because God has put you and me in their lives so that we can share our faith in Christ with them, invite them to join us for worship, and they may not come the first 20 times, but just maybe the 21st, they too will know what it means to have peace with God. Thank God for what we don't have. I mean, if we had everything we wanted, maybe there'd be no room for Christ in our lives. Thank God. That's more than a catchphrase. Just ask one leper who's in heaven. It's a way of life. Amen. Today, we also are having something for our stewardship thought called a Faces of Jesus video. These have been produced quarterly by our assimilation team, a group that's gathering together to help connect members with members, especially our newest members here to St. Paul's. And how can you become more involved with it? Well, in this video, you're going to learn about what a face of Jesus is, and through Sherry's words, she'll show us how to be the face of Jesus to others.
Hi, I'm Sherry. I have a question for you. In your mind, what did Jesus look like? Movies and pictures have depicted Jesus in many ways. Most portrayals of Jesus are quite handsome. But in Isaiah 53, God tells us, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So what did Jesus look like? We don't know. Even though we don't know how Jesus looked, do you realize that you are the face of Jesus? As one of his followers, the love you show, the welcoming atmosphere you create, the service you give, and the example you set, all reflect the face of your living and loving Lord Jesus. You are the face of Jesus. As Jesus' face smiles on you, be a loving face, a joyful face, a friendly face, a serving face.